In January I was back, and this time I was accepted. Before long I was strutting through Witte in my new uniform, oblivious to the fact that the pants were too small, the jacket too big, the whole effect quite top-heavy. But I was going off to take back our colonies for the Queen, and perhaps get a few of those dirty revolutionaries who everyone said were communists and bastards. The two words automatically went together. The only people who did not respond with applause were the Wetstras. I walked, top-heavy, past their house. "Hello there, Andy."
"Good morning, Mr. Wetstra."
"How are your mother and father?"
Was it possible he did not see the uniform?
I turned so that the sun glinted from my shiny brass belt buckle. At last I blurted, "I've joined up, you know. I'm going to the East Indies." Mr. Wetstra leaned back as if to see me better. "Yes, I see. So you're off for adventure. I will pray for you, Andrew. I will pray that the adventure you find will satisfy." I stared at him, puzzled. Whatever did he mean, adventure that would satisfy? Any kind of adventure, I thought, as I looked out over the flat fields stretching away from Witte in every direction. Any adventure would satisfy me more than the long sleep of this village. So I left home. I left home emotionally as well as physically. I worked hard during basic training and felt for the first time in my life that I was doing something I wanted to do. Oh, how I liked being treated as an adult. Part of my training took place in the town of Gorkham. Each Sunday I would go to church, not because I was interested in the service, but because afterwards I could count on being invited to dinner. I always enjoyed telling my hosts that I had been picked for special commando training in Indonesia. "Within a few weeks," I would say, dramatically pushing my chair back and taking a long draw from my after-Sunday dinner cigar, "I shall be in hand-to-hand combat with the enemy." And then, striking a somewhat distant look, I would ask if my hosts would consider writing me while I was overseas. They always agreed, and before I left Holland I had 70 names on my correspondence list. One of them was a girl. I met her in the usual way, after church, a reformed service that particular Sunday. She was the most beautiful girl I had ever seen. About my age, I guessed, extremely slender, with hair so black it had a tinge of blue in it. But what impressed me most was her skin. I had read about skin as white as snow. This was the first time I had seen it. After a pleasant snooze during the sermon, I went invitation fishing. Sure enough, I timed my exit just right. Snow White was at the door. She introduced herself.
"I'm Teal," she said.
"I'm Andrew.
My mother wonders if you would like to have dinner with us."
"Very much indeed," I said.